Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Biweekly Report for December 8th, 2025. I'm Phil Adler. Late arriving economic reports have delivered mixed results on the health of the U.S. economy. Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Fearon-Hernandez joins us today to discuss takeaways for investors. Now, Patrick, the title of this week's report is What Catch-Up Economic Reports Say About the AI Boom. Is it fair to say that without the AI boom, our economy and the U.S. stock market would be in a heap of trouble?
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on the show. And to answer your question, we think the economy and the stock market would look a lot weaker without the current AI boom. The AI boom has been a major stabilizer for both the economy and the markets. We've seen massive investment in AI infrastructure, everything from data centers and advanced chips and energy systems. Global spending on AI-related data centers is projected to grow at nearly 28% annually, reaching over $200 billion by 2030. Now, without that surge, corporate investment would look much weaker, given how cautious firms have become outside the AI sector. And frankly, the stock market's resilience this year has leaned heavily on tech and AI-related firms like Nvidia and Oracle, which have seen strong rebounds recently.
Well, your focus today is on two reports in particular, both of which were delivered weeks late to policymakers because of the government shutdown. First, August construction spending. That seems like a long time ago. Is the August version of this report usually more or less significant than other months?
Well, August isn't inherently more significant than other months, but in this case, it matters because it gives us a snapshot of mid-year trends during a volatile period. Construction spending rose 0.2% in August, which is pretty minimal. That was similar to July, signaling basic stagnation. What's important here is that it shows that even with AI-related projects, overall construction activity was subdued, at least through late summer.
Yes, even though overall construction spending was up, as you just said, modestly in August, non-residential construction actually declined, I see. What is included in this non-residential category?
Well, you have to understand that the figures for total construction spending include three subcategories: public works, private residential construction, and private non-residential construction, which is basically commercial construction spending. Now, non-residential includes commercial buildings, manufacturing facilities, warehouses, and yes, data centers for AI infrastructure. So when we talk about AI-related construction, it falls squarely into this category of commercial construction spending.
And this category actually fell 0.3% in August. How do you interpret this?
Well, this tells us that the boom in AI spending hasn't been enough to offset the weakness in other commercial sectors. Now, we think that would be a big surprise to a lot of investors.
And if we are to assume that AI-related construction spending is rising, what does this category say about the U.S. economy overall?
Well, it suggests a bifurcated economy. AI is booming, but other sectors remain cautious. And that's important because AI is still just a small sliver of the overall business sector, which includes everything from auto manufacturers to healthcare facilities and food retailers. While AI is a bright spot, the broader picture is one of restrained investment.
Patrick, our government has been trying to convince foreign companies to invest inside the U.S. using a variety of methods, including bargaining over tariffs and tax breaks. Does this report suggest the effort has met with little success so far?
Yes, the weak non-residential numbers imply limited success so far. Foreign direct investment in U.S. manufacturing and tech remains strong on paper, something like $275 billion in 2024 and trillions of dollars in commitments announced so far in 2025. But the actual current construction activity hasn't caught up yet. The key question is why? In our view, it's largely due to uncertainty over trade policy, supply chain bottlenecks, and relatively weak spending by lower-income households.
The second report you concentrate on is September durable goods orders. Why is this report valuable for policymakers?
Well, durable goods orders reflect business confidence, and they're a leading indicator of business investment. They help gauge capital spending trends, which feed directly into measures of gross domestic product and GDP growth. Policymakers watch this closely because it signals whether firms are gearing up for growth or pulling back.
And how would you sum up the September results?
Total durable goods orders rose 0.5% in September after a strong 3% gain in August. Durable goods orders, excluding the volatile aircraft segment, rose an even stronger 0.9%, signaling modest but steady investment. Year over year, durable goods orders were up almost 10%, but the growth is concentrated in certain sectors, not broad-based. The proxy for corporate capital investment, in other words, non-defense capital goods orders excluding aircraft, were only up about 5.3% in September 2025 versus September 2024.
Patrick, you don't go into it in this report, but the employment numbers we do have suggest, if I'm not mistaken, that while firms are not firing, they're not hiring either. Overall, would you say that our economy appears to be in somewhat of a holding pattern?
I think that's accurate. Job growth has slowed and unemployment has ticked up to about 4.4%, and as a result, consumer confidence has weakened. All this suggests that firms in general, outside of AI, are cautious. They're waiting for clarity on trade policy, interest rate policy, and consumer demand. So yes, we're in a holding pattern, neither booming nor collapsing.
It seems at the time of our recording that the Federal Reserve is ready to lower interest rates once again, even without the latest inflation and employment numbers. Do you think the Fed might have access to insider-type information suggesting that an economic slowdown is a greater threat right now than rising inflation?
Well, the Fed is divided, but markets are pricing in about an 80% chance of a December rate cut. Inflation is still near 3%, which is above target, but labor market softness is pushing the Fed toward easing. Without a doubt, they're looking at various private sources of data, which can be quite granular. So they probably have a sense of the way that most businesses are so cautious right now. We think that's why they're prioritizing growth risks over inflation at this point.
Looking ahead, what do you anticipate for the economy that investors might act on heading into the new year?
Well, I expect continued Fed easing into 2026. In addition, I'd expect trade policy clarity and a rebound in corporate investment beyond AI. Of course, AI will remain a growth engine, but watch for broader capital spending recoveries if uncertainty lifts. That could support economic growth and stock prices in the coming year.
Thank you, Patrick. The title of this week's report is What Catch-Up Economic Reports Say About the AI Boom, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.